Father, we do lift your name on high, O Lord. Lord, there is none like you. There is none like you in heaven or on earth, O Lord. You alone are worthy of all praise and glory and honor. We exalt you this night, Lord. We call you Lord because indeed you are our Lord. We thank you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you continue to do for us, all that you'll do in the future, that you might fulfill the purposes in our lives, O God. As we line up to you, O Lord, you fill us and you flow through us. And you accomplish all that you have in your heart to accomplish in us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good evening. I am exceedingly happy. My husband's coming home tonight. So although he has had a wonderful time in New York with my grandchildren, my son and my daughter-in-law, it's good to be getting him home. I do want to mention a few things. Joanne is now at home. She had her hip surgery and has done very well and was progressing with her therapy well enough that they said that she could go ahead and go home today. And so for that, yes, we are extremely grateful for God's goodness in her life. And we continue to pray for all of those that are ailing in our body, all of those that that need our prayers for continued healing. And we thank the Lord for his divine healing that comes to each and every one of us. So do you mind if we just take a moment and pray for that? Father, we just thank you for Joanne. We thank you, Lord, for her expedient recovery, O God. We thank you, Father, that the doctors were skillful in all of their ways, O God, that they were able to accomplish what needed to be done. We thank you, Father, for her body that was lining up to the Word of God, that would respond to therapy, O God. We pray, Father, that even as her body continues to mend, that, Lord, your healing balm of Gilead would wash over her even now, Lord. We pray, Father, that she would experience your presence and your love like never before. And for the rest in our body, Lord, we continue to stand in the gap, believing for a complete and total healing. We thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus, that you made every appropriation for us to be able to walk in health. We don't lose sight of that. We believe you, Jesus, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I am blessed to be able to share with you this evening, and I'm sorry to say this, but you're going to have to put up with a little bit of my insurance lingo here, just as I know insurance well. So there's one of the things that I have seen in my job. My job that I have right now, I'm on the provider side. For many years, I was on the insurance side, and I received the provider calls. Well, this time now, I'm on the provider side calling the insurance companies and saying, okay, this is what you need to pay. Make sure you pay it. I'll get you everything you need, but make sure you pay it. One of the major downfalls for any patient, any member, any provider is whenever they're not aware of the benefits that their patient has. And so there are lots of times that I've got to investigate and find out what exactly the insurance company has promised to pay. And if they have promised to pay that, then it's their responsibility legally to make that right. As long as they have everything that I can provide for them, you know, as long as it's considered medically necessary and all that they have is with them. So many times I'm on the phone, sometimes an hour or an hour and a half, just pleading our cases and saying, you know, this is the way the insurance policy runs. This is what you need to do. And so I see a real similarity in our walk with the Lord. The Lord has provided so many things for us. Jesus Christ, by virtue of the cross, has provided so many benefits, if you will, for us, that if we are not aware of those benefits, we miss out on that. If we are not aware of what's available to us, then we fall short of being able to get what it is that has been completed and accomplished for us. So I was thinking about Brad's message on Sunday, and it was an excellent message. I loved the message that that he shared about David and about David's life and about how he fought on the battlefield and God gave him the victory in that. But as I was looking at David's life, I also can draw some other comparisons. And one of the comparisons we're going to talk about tonight, the main comparison, is that our faith in Christ is compared to our walk in the Lord. Whenever you see, specifically in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, which I'm going to talk about mostly tonight, whenever it says in Christ, that's our position. That's a position that was won for us. That's the benefits that Christ won on the cross for us. In Christ, whenever you see that, you'll see it'll play out as you read Scripture. In Christ is your position. Whenever you read in the Lord, that's our behavior. That's our part that we need to walk in the Lord. We sang about it tonight. Lord, I lift your name on high. That's an action word. That's something that we are responsible to do. Although Christ has won and appropriated so many things for us on the cross, we also have a part to play in that as we walk out our salvation in the Lord, if you would. Concerning David, his behavior sometimes didn't line up to his position. If you look at the life of David, there were some things that he definitely lacked in his character. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. There were some things that in his life that fell very short of what God had for him to be walking in the Lord. But there was something that David did have. He had a heart after God. And so that was something that God, in his amazing mercy and his amazing grace, even though David had walked through some of these things that fell exceedingly short, God loved him because his heart was toward him. David's heart was toward God. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 14, let's turn there. First Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. My pages are sticking together. Okay, this is Samuel speaking, and it says in verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So we're seeing that God, in his searching out for a ruler over Israel, found David, who was a man after God's own heart. David realized that his position was secure in God. whenever he was worshiping God, whenever we read the Psalms and we get to look into David's heart, whenever we see what it is that David pursued, he pursued the heart of God. Whenever he had times that were difficult, he cried out to God. Whenever he was rejoicing, he rejoiced in his Lord. Whenever he had times where he felt as though his enemies were encamped all around him, he cried out to God. He was a man after God's own heart. David understood that he was in need of God's mercy and intervention in his life, and his walk of faith depended on that all the time. All of God's promises are in his word. There's not one promise that we cannot find, that we have to search and seek for, that God has given us in Christ. It's all in his word. And so we need to become students of his word. We need to be those people that understand what the word of God says, just like, you know, I'd started out saying about our benefits, understanding what benefits we have in the kingdom of God. Christ has purchased for us forgiveness of sin, healing, provision, acceptance, adoption in the family, redemption, eternal life, protection, comfort, the Holy Spirit. There's so many things that by God's grace he has provided for us. And not only has he provided them for us, they are legally ours by virtue of what Christ has done. They're a legal binding promise from God to us. And also, I just have a question. You know, I know that we all have eternal life waiting for us when we leave this earth. We who know Christ have eternal life waiting for us. But if we did not have eternal life at the other end, if we did not have that as our prize at the end, would we still walk the Christian walk? Would we still love God enough to say, you're everything that I want, you're everything that I need? You know, there's just a soberness whenever we think about what God has done for us and where we stand in our walk with him. There's also, you know, the things that we come in contact with as we are walking our walk. We might have some hindrances, and some of those hindrances can be very real. They can be they can trip us up. They can cause us to miss the mark. Just like David, they can get us to a place where we are not accomplishing what God has called us to do. And whenever I was considering the David's battlefields, the fields that he was fighting on, and we also have battlefields that we fight on. And the battlefields, I know that you have heard as well as I have that the battlefields that we fight on are in our mind. It starts here, that our mind is our battlefield. And I understand what that is. I understand how that, you know, we can think and believe that, because yes, we do have battles in our mind. But I think that the battlefield that we fight on, I think the main battlefield that we fight on is the battlefield of our heart. What are we pursuing? What are we after in our heart? Are we like David, where we pursue him with all that we are and all that we have? Or are we going to be those that kind of allow our hindrances, allow our things to keep us bound up? There's a man by the name of Bob Mumford, and he said, all battles in our lives are won or lost in the secret place. And I see where he's coming from. We all have our own battles, that whenever it's just me and God, whenever I am in a situation where it's me and God, Where am I going to go? Am I going to follow my own desires? Am I going to let my, you know, the things that I desire to go after, are they going to take precedence over the will of God in my life? Hopefully the things that I pursue are God's will for me. But I think I'm not just alone here. I think that all of us, whenever we have opportunity to make decisions, whether it's turning a TV channel or whether it's, you know, being obedient whenever God says to speak to somebody, whether it's, you know, paying for somebody's groceries whenever the Lord tells you to do that and you say, well, I don't know if I can do that. You know, walking in obedience is a very important thing. And I think that all of us have those times in our lives where we can choose either to be obedient or we can do it our own way. That's why I think sometimes the main battle is in our hearts. Is our heart drive? Is our heart motivation? Is our heart pursuant on fulfilling God's plan and God being obedient to what he's saying to us? That's not always easy. Some of the hindrances that can bind us are pride. You know, my way is a better way. Or presumption. I know that this was something that I really struggled with early in my walk. You know, God would speak something to me, and rather than be immediately obedient, I would kind of say, oh God, you know my heart. Why don't you make me be obedient? Why don't you make me do this or make me do that? And so clearly, I remember my little whining before the Lord and saying, you know, make me. I remember so clearly him saying, if I made you, it wouldn't be love. It would be something that we would just be manipulated by a God who doesn't give us a choice and doesn't give us an option to be obedient and to hear what he's saying. So, presumption can be a real struggle for us. It can be a real hindrance. Also, unforgiveness. You know, I think every one of us in this room probably has had opportunity to have to forgive somebody. If you haven't had that opportunity, you wait. It's coming. Because every one of us has opportunity to be offended. And sincerely, where offense comes, that's where unforgiveness comes. It comes through offense. So if we choose right at the onset to say, I choose not to be offended, we're going to save ourselves a lot of heartache and a lot of that inner struggle that happens whenever we have a hard time forgiving. So these are hindrances. They're just a few. I'm sure that you probably can think of many more hindrances that keep you from walking in the Lord or being obedient to the call of God on your life. And he continues to reveal those things all the time to us. And can I have, Mick, would you hand out my papers here, please? On these papers, there's obviously a whole lot more than we need tonight. On these papers, we're comparing again our faith in Christ and our walk with the Lord. So in Christ, again, as you're getting your papers there, whenever we are in Christ, those are benefits, those are our promises, those are facts, as it were. Those are things that Christ has won for us on Calvary. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood for us, we have been made free. We are seated in heavenly places. We have things that are appropriated in our lives that are unwavering, that they do not change. Regardless of what our behavior looks like, just as David was before the Lord and had a heart after God, he knew his position in God, we also have a position in Christ. And so in our position in Christ, those again are those things that do not waver. They are promises. They are ours. Also, we're going to be talking about our walk with the Lord. And those are, again, our behaviors. If you look at the first premise on your paper, it says, once we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. We must accept that we are on solid ground. Our position is secure. We can have peace in this fact. This scripture is not present as a promise, not like, if you do this, I will do this. It's not conditionary. It's not a condition. It's a fact. It is a solid fact that with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in our lives, we are positioned with him forever. I don't know about you, but for me, that's everything. For me, that is something that even whenever I fall short, I know that he still loves me. Even whenever I fall short and am not immediately obedient, I know that he still is for me, that he still has plans and purposes for me, and he'll accomplish those. He will bring those to completion in my life. In Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 4, you have it on your paper, so, you know, if you don't have your Bible with you or don't want to look it up, it's right there. Ephesians 1, 3 through 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If you'll notice, in Christ, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That is our position. That is ours. That is unwavering. He has won that for us on Calvary. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6 say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, we see in Christ, or in Christ Jesus. These are unwavering facts. These are unwavering things that we can stand on. If you'll look at your line across your page, it says, in Christ is our position. It's not determined by our feelings or our success in obedience, but was won on the cross for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's something that some days I don't feel very saved, very honestly. Some days I don't feel as though I'm hitting the mark. Some days I feel like I miss the mark. Some days I do miss the mark really bad. Sometimes I, you know, all of us have those things that we deal with. And so in those days, in that time, I realized that I'm covered. I'm covered over. I am secure. I'm hemmed in. I have my Redeemer who has called me by name. I am one who is not without a Savior, one who is not without a Lord who has done amazing things for us. In Isaiah 62, verses 10 through 11, it says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. You've been bought with a price, beloved. You have been bought with a price. You have been redeemed. You have been clothed. Even as a bride is clothed and adorns herself, even as a groom is clothed with the wedding garments, you have been clothed with Christ. Don't ever take that for granted. Don't ever forget that. Because sometimes we can feel somewhat naked out there in this world whenever we are to our own devices. Don't ever forget that you are clothed with Jesus Christ himself. That whenever God sees you, he sees Christ covering over you. Okay, down below our line, it says, in the Lord, our behavior, we are commanded to walk this out. Okay, here's another premise. As we begin our journey with the Lord, he instructs us in our walk that we should be counted worthy of his calling. We are brought into the fullness of his image as we walk in obedience. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So again, we see in the Lord in our scripture here, which means to me right away, I know that's my behavior. That commands an action on my part. That's not something I rest in. That's something that I am about. I am about moving in this. This is, as we are in Christ, we rest in that. As we are in the Lord, in our walk, we move forward. We're in action. We are forever moving from glory to glory. Just as he says, as we are in the Lord. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10. For we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So again, we see that we are light in the Lord. This is our behavior. This is what we are responsible to do. We're walking in obedience, and so therefore we are in the Lord. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, many times we've heard, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I tell you to do. Those are acts of obedience. Those are things that we're responsible to do. As a premise, it says, once we understand who we are in Christ and how we respond in the Lord, great strides are made as we are transformed into the image of our Lord. In my life, I'd like to say I've always been an immediate responder. Gotta love the first responders who always jump to action and they're always the first ones there. How amazing they are. There are some times that I do that. There are some times that I do follow obediently right away. You know, God will say something, the Lord will say something in my spirit, and I'll hear that very clearly, and I'll walk that out. I'll be obedient to do that. Other times, I kind of hesitate. And I'm not so much an immediate responder. I'm not so much a first responder. I'm kind of like the one that, okay, let's see what's going to happen here, and then I'll see I'll see how I fit in here. But as I have been walking this walk, I start seeing that the more immediate that I am, the more pleasing that is to God, and the more quickly I move through this walk of maturity. You know, our goal, our end game in all of this is to be mature Christians, is it not? You know, our desire is to be those that can be counted on as being those that know the Lord and are able to instruct others in the Lord. Each one should be at this point teaching those. So as we walk along in our walk of maturity, that is solidified, that is enhanced, that is brought forth more quickly the more obedient we are. Because God has purposes and plans for us, and He has from the beginning of time created a purpose for your life. He has created a way that He desires you to move in this walk. And as we're obedient, then we move further along in our relationship in the Lord. So, I have some work for you guys to do. You didn't think you'd have to work tonight, did you? I am going to ask you to look up different scriptures, and I'm going to ask you, can you tell me whether or not they are our position or are they our behavior? So our key words that we're looking for are in Christ and in the Lord. So I would like you to look up, let's see, how about, James, can you look up Ephesians 1:20? And we're going to be staying in Ephesians here. Okay, could you go ahead and read it? So do you think that that is a in Christ in the Lord? Which do you think? Mm-hmm. Is that a behavior statement or is that a more of a position statement? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, if you read it in context, it speaks more about that position that Christ holds in the heavenlies because of what He accomplished on the cross. Okay, Don, how would you like to look up Ephesians 2:13? What do you think? Position or behavior? Yeah. Yeah. How amazing that He has broken down every wall, that He is our peace. How amazing. What awesome things that God has done for us. Okay. What about Ephesians 6:10? John, could you read that for us? Ephesians 6:10. What do you think? Position or behavior? Yeah, it is. It is. Be strong in the Lord. You know, we are responsible to put that into action in our lives. That's a behavior that we mature into. Okay, what about Julia? Would you like to read Ephesians 5:20? What do you think? Yes, it is a behavior. It is. Hallelujah. Are you seeing what I'm saying here whenever you read in Christ and in the Lord? Okay, Joanne, how about Ephesians 1:10? What do you think? It is our position. It is. How awesome is that, that He would gather together all things in Christ, that which are both in heaven and which are on earth in Him. How amazing. And Holly, would you like to read Ephesians 1:3? Yeah, it is. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay, what about Mick? Do you want to read Ephesians 5:20? That is. That is. That requires an action, giving thanks. Giving thanks always for all things. And one last one. Sherry, would you like to read Ephesians 4:17? No. There you go. That is a behavior. And you are quick up there, guys. Thank you, Roger. Well, as you read through scriptures, as you read through the Word of God, and you see where it says in Christ, just remind yourself that that is a promise of God. That is who you are. And then whenever you read in scripture, in the Lord, that is who you are becoming. That is your behavior, that you are growing from glory to glory and precept upon precept and getting closer and closer to maturity in Christ, in the Lord. And so what do you guys think about that at all? You have anything that you want to share? Have you experienced any of those things that as you stand on those promises of God, as you stand on those solid facts in the Word of God, they have given you strength? Have you seen in your own walk with the Lord as you are making him more and more Lord of your life, as you are making him more and more that place of lordship in your life? Are you seeing that that becomes a little easier as you mature? Anybody have anything they want to share? That's so true, Tom. That really is. And you go ahead, Julia. Oh my. Yeah, there's a price to pay whenever we're not obedient at times, isn't there? Yeah. Anybody else want to share anything? I can honestly say that as I look over who is here in our room here, I'm thankful for the maturity that I see. I'm thankful for the obedience that I see in your life, because that stirs me to be obedient more readily. And that causes me to continue to strive to be better and to be what God has called me to be. Not that by works we attain salvation. We do not. We do not attain salvation or favor of God by works. God favors us and loves us because of who we are, not what we do. But in the midst of all of that, we still have a part to play. We still have a part to play. It would be wrong for us to think that we can walk through our lives and not have to in any way be obedient to what God is speaking to us, because it's for our good whenever we're obedient, whenever we see the faithfulness of God in our obedience, whenever we experience maturity, whenever we see what God can accomplish just because he loves us. It's an amazing thing. Well, this has been a very short message for you guys, but I hope that it's something that, you know, whenever you're reading your word, you can go back and look over that and say, you know, this requires something of me, and so I'll be willing to do that, or this is something that has been won for me, so I stand on that. Go ahead, Mick. Yes. Yeah. It really does. It really does. And every one of us has a battle that we fight. Every one of us has battles that we are called to the battlefield. And so as we go to that battlefield, we either go in a position of authority, a position of knowing who we are in Christ, or we suffer. We suffer. Because the thing is, if we do not know who we are going into battle, it makes it very difficult to win that battle because we try to do it in our own strength. And that never is good. That really is never good. Go ahead, Danny. Yes. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That's right.
Our part is to trust and obey if we want to be happy in Him.
Yes. Yes, thank you for sharing that, Danny. That's so true. Go ahead, Don.
Our understanding in the Lord is so rich, and there's 2,942 references to in the Lord in the Bible.
Wow. Isn't that something? Wow. Isn't that awesome to think that just about at every turn, God has a path for us to go. And God has something that He wants to accomplish in us to bring us to that place of maturity. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Don. Go ahead, Tom. Yeah. Yeah.
As a Christian, we live our life under a microscope. Everybody watches what we do.
Yes, that's very true.
All watch.
Yeah.
So everything, what we do, what we say, how we act, our behavior is very important because it does reflect on the church.
Sure.
It reflects on our life, reflects on God.
I was going to say, more importantly, it reflects on the Lord.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, yes, it affects people, it affects situations, it affects things that are on this earthly realm. But most importantly, we're representations of Christ. You know, we represent Christ on the earth today. And until that day comes, whenever He calls us home, until that day comes, whenever we are standing before Him, we are responsible. And that can be a kind of a heavy thing. You know, that can be something that if you dwell on that too much, you can be almost burdened by that. But that's not God's intent. God's intent is not that it would be a burden to us, but that it would be freedom and liberty to us to be obedient.
But ignorance won't be an excuse.
That's right. It will not be. Danny?
He was talking about a response, our response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ray Hughes down Morningstar one time done it. We'll have to set it up here and do it someday. When you see it done, it really affects you more than me telling you.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did is he set a guitar in front of the monitor, had him turn the monitor up, and put a microphone on the guitar. So you got to be careful doing that so you don't get
the I'll bet. Yeah.
And then when he sang an A note, guitar instantly responded and started playing an A note.
Wow.
Just from the sound of the
just the vibration, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
The strings responded. They didn't sit there and think about it all day.
Yeah.
You got to run it all through this gray matter. And that string, as soon as they felt the vibration of the A note, he responded and played it.
That is amazing.
He responded that way to our daddy.
Yeah.
It pleased him, and things would happen in our life too.
And you think about that, even nature itself responds to God. Even nature itself responds to God. You know, Mick, you're talking about taking authority. We have authority over storms, and we have authority over the things that would bring harm and, you know, bring destruction. Nature itself responds to God. But whenever you were saying that too, Danny, it made me think about how in the spiritual realm, how whenever we are obedient, it can change the very nature of the spiritual atmosphere. And I'm thinking right now about whenever we blow the shofar. And, you know, whenever we do that in obedience, not that we do it ritually, we don't. But whenever we do it in obedience, the spiritual atmosphere changes in our very midst. How amazing is that? You know, that even the spiritual realm responds to God. Yeah. Go ahead, Beth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. 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 Isn't that awesome? Wow. Yes, that is. That is. And I can even think in my life, in our lives, you know, with Rick and I, whenever we would be in such need and not mention it to anybody, but somebody else's obedience to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit was exactly what we needed. It was exactly what we needed, to the penny sometimes. You know, I remember one time, I don't even remember, we've been here long enough, I don't know if Rick has already told this story or not, but I remember being at Christ for the Nations, and at the time we had very little money, very, you know, nothing in my purse, nothing in the wallet, you know, nothing in the bank. But this one particular night we were in a service and felt the Lord say, give everything you have in the offering. And I think at the time Rick had like a $5 bill, but we needed to go to get groceries right after that. But we're obedient. You know, we were obedient to what God said. And whenever we came back from that service, sitting on our stoop in front of our door were five bags of groceries that $5 never would have bought, you know, and had it not been for our obedience, I kind of doubt that that would be there. I do. I kind of feel like if I gave myself liberty to say, or if Rick gave himself liberty to say, well, I don't need to be obedient at this time, the next person can say, well, I don't really need to be obedient at this time. I have liberty. You know, God knows my heart. You know, but I really believe that it's a chain reaction. Whenever we're obedient, we set things in motion that the next one will be obedient and the next one will be obedient, and we'll start seeing the body of Christ to be what the body of Christ was called to be from the very beginning. You know, we are called to be ambassadors to this world. If we are not going to be ambassadors to this world, what a pitiful world we have. If we have no representation of Christ in this world, you know, it's a sad thing. But that's not the case. We are. And we are obedient. And we do walk in maturity. And we do go glory to glory and line upon line, precept upon precept. But did anybody else have anything to share? Margaret, you coming in just in time to share something? Well, thank you all so much for letting me go on. And just I appreciate Christ in you so much. I appreciate how you honor him I appreciate how you worship him and how he truly is the center of your life. You make me want to be more in Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. We just thank you. Do you mind if I pray? We'll close. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, that was Isaiah. Let's see, I wrote it down here. Isaiah 62, verses 10 through 11. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Well, Father, we just thank you. We thank you first and foremost for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you loved us enough that you went to the cross, that you were obedient to the cross because you saw what was on the other end of that. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on our behalf, that your blood would be shed on our behalf, and that, Lord, because of that shed blood on Calvary, we stand in wholeness and we stand complete in you. We thank you for our position in you, Jesus. How amazing it is that we can stand secure on solid ground, O God. We thank you for that. And Lord, even as we walk through this walk, even as we live through our Christian lives day by day, help us to be obedient at every turn, O God. Help us to be immediate responders, Father. Not those that would lag behind or wait, Father, but those that would be immediate responders to what your Spirit's telling us. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for all that you have provided for us. You're an amazing God. And we pray that you would just continue to keep us on the altar of your throne, O God, that you would continue to cause us to strive to be more like you, Jesus. Not that it would be a burden or heavy on us, O Lord, but that we would realize the great reward at the end of that, that we might be those that would shine forth your glory in this generation. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.